1 Corinthians chapter 2, and before we read it, just like to say, Sunday we examine the difference between just believing and fully understanding. We showed from 1 Corinthians 2 that the evidence that you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God is that you will understand the things of God, and that the evidence that you are not filled with the Spirit is that you cannot understand the things of God. 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 2, verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. For we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word Sunday, and we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Knowing you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Knowing, Father, that it's not our belief, because we could be believing in the wrong thing. In fact, we know the devil believes, and yet he trembles. And we know that he's not saved. So just our believing is not what saves us, because our belief is unto salvation. So, Father, we just ask you to help us to come totally into Christ, and may your Holy Spirit come totally into us, that we might have an understanding. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Notice he says, "The Spirit which is of God." Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us God. So the very purpose of receiving the spirit of God is that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And it tells in verse 12 that the reason why we've received the order is to know and to understand. Now in verse 14 it tells us, "But the natural man, the unregenerate man, the man that is not born again of the Spirit of God, he receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now notice it tells the natural man cannot understand the things of God, and in fact the things of God are foolishness to him. And it tells that only the man that is born again and filled with the Spirit of God can understand the things of God, because he says they are spiritually discerned. Now the suffix ually added to the word spirit modifies the word spirit from a noun, spirit is a noun, to an adjective, and this modification shows a quality or characteristic of the word that is modified. All right. Therefore, by saying that no man can understand the things of God unless they have the Spirit of God in them, he clarifies this by saying because the things of God are spiritually discerned. The suffix ually shows, therefore, an attribute or quality of the Spirit, which in action it produces discernment, which is a knowing or understanding the things of God. So it's an action off of the Spirit, is what it is. And Paul tells us that the action of the Spirit, produced by the Spirit, is to discern and to understand the things of God. Therefore, take the Spirit out of the equation, and you have no discernment, and therefore no understanding of the things of God. But he that is spiritual, he that is Spirit-filled, judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, Sunday we showed you that believing does not mean that you're born again, because the Bible teaches you believe unto salvation. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." So you can believe and not be filled with the Holy Ghost. All right. So the Spirit comes after the believing. The believing is not the infilling of the Spirit, but prepares us for the infilling of the Spirit. Acts 19:2, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be an Holy Ghost." Therefore, I want to make sure this is clear, because there are so many who are standing on the supposition that all you have to do to be saved is to believe. And we know the Bible teaches us that the devil believes and he trembles. That's James 2:19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and they tremble. So just saying, well, I'm a believer, it puts you in the same classification as the devil. All right? Now, from his word, five identification, Brother Bram said, you say, well, Brother Bram, I believe. Well, listen, and I've never received the Holy Ghost. No, you don't believe yet. You are just believing unto belief. You have hope. For in 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 3rd verse, let's just grab the right quick while we're close to it, if you want to. 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 3rd verse. And we'll get that just right quick and read this here and see what the Lord has in this for us. 1 Corinthians 12, I'll write the 3rd verse. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. You don't know nothing about it until you received the Holy Ghost. You say, well, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? If you don't, you can't even call him the Lord, because he's not Lord. He's a historical being that you have faith, that by faith you have accepted. But when he comes into you by the Holy Ghost, he is your Lord. No man can call Jesus Lord, only by the Holy Ghost. Until you are born of the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost is in you, then if you are born into this kingdom and you're part of the church, you're the called out ones then. See? All right, now. Again, from things that are to be, he says, a certain denominational minister the other night said to me, Brother Branham, or Mr. Branham, looky here, Jesus said, whosoever believeth. The Bible says, whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is born of the Spirit of God. I said, don't the Bible also say no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost? See, you can't make the Bible lie. It's got to hook right into it. So you have to become absolutely born again of the Holy Spirit in you that witnesses out yourself that you know that he is the Son of God. And then if you are a child of God in the Word of God, how can you deny the Word? How can the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit make you believe a creed that you have to do something like this when the Bible says something else? We have to join a church or do this or do that, when the Bible plainly tells you what to do. Now, we went Sunday, we went into quite a bit and showed you where, you know, quite a few scriptures where Jesus said, whosoever believes on me shall not die. And Brother Ram said, see, that's not whosoever believeth, as if, you know, well, I kind of believe it mentally. He said, that's whosoever understandeth. You see, believing, because, you know, there's, and I showed you, there's two quotes in the message where Brother Bram says, you know, you don't have to believe it, you have to understand it. But there's about 36 where it says, you got to understand it. If you got the Holy Ghost, you will understand it. So it's not just a matter of saying, well, I believe, he says the drunkard, he believes. You say to the man that's got somebody else's wife, you say, well, you believe what the Word says? Oh, yeah, I believe it. Well, if you really believe it, why'd you do it? Right? Okay. Now, from the Patmos vision, he says, well, while we're talking to on revelations, ask him to give you a revelation of this. For it can only be known by revelation, and you can only be saved by revelation. You have a knowledge of it intellectually, but you can't be saved until it's revealed to you. No man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says. No man can say Jesus is the Christ until he has received the Holy Ghost. He might say, well, the pastor said so, or the Bible says so, well, them are true. The church says it, well, that is true. But you don't know yourself until the Holy Ghost has revealed it to you, and he's become in you. No man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost, not by knowledge, not by intellectual. Well, then what is it by? It's epigenosko. It's by experiential understanding. All right? Or an experiential relationship. Now, from why Christ speaks, Jesus said, the works that I do, he that believeth on me, St. John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, he that believeth on me. No man can believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God until he's received the Holy Ghost. You're only taking it by faith and accepting it. You can't say that it is. You can say, well, I believe it is, but no man can call Jesus the Christ until the Holy Ghost is in him. The Bible said so. The Holy Spirit has to come in first. Then it gives a witness. You know yourself that Jesus is the Christ because he lives in you. But when the Holy Spirit enters you, you'll know it. And you'll understand the Word. Not only how thorough, not by how thorough you can study, but you will just know it because the Holy Spirit himself is the witness inside of you to his Word. In 1 John 5 and verse 10 we read, he that believeth on the Son of God echoes the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Now, from Queen of Sheba, Brother Manson, the Bible said that no man can call Jesus Christ only by the Holy Ghost. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, you don't know that he's the Christ yet. Remember that. You're only walking towards the light. You can say, my pastor says so, that's true. The Bible says so, that's true. My mother says so, that's true. My church believes it's the Holy Ghost, well, that's true. But what about you? As an individual, you don't know until you received it. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, then you are a witness that he's alive forevermore. Now, the Holy Ghost is within you now, and then you watch him as he worked. Watch him where? Watch him in you as he works. If the life of Christ is in you, it will produce his life in you. The works that I do shall you do also. The same works, because it's the same life. If the life in the watermelon vine produces the watermelon, well, the next branch that comes out, it'll produce another watermelon. Every time it'll be watermelon. And if the church is really anchored in Christ, every church will write a book of Acts behind it. That's exactly right, because the first one wrote a book of Acts behind it. So, there we are. Now, what is he saying? Well, see, here's the problem. People say, well, I'm a witness. All right, the witness is within me. Just a minute now. If you say the witness is within me, then you're saying the Holy Ghost himself is in me. All right, you can't be a witness unless you're a partaker. You can't just hear something secondhand and then say, I'm a witness to it. You've got to know it yourself. You've got to experience it yourself. It's got to be part. You've got to be part and parcel of it. In other words, the Word becomes a reality and to you, and you become... And the Word becomes alive to you and in you. All right, you become alive to the Word. Now, from the unfailing realities of God, he said the Holy Spirit comes today in like manner to present God to man, but man wants to go to church. It drowns his thinking. He cannot fathom it, and he must learn that God is not known by intellectual conception. God is known by the new birth, by the Holy Ghost, not by any other way. Jesus, the Bible has plainly quoted us that no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. And if you've never received the Holy Ghost yet, you don't know that he is the Christ, for that's the only way that he reveals himself. You're not converted until you receive the Holy Ghost. The Bible said after Peter had both been saved and sanctified, given power to cast out unclean spirits and to preach the gospel, Jesus plainly told him he was not converted until he received the Holy Ghost. And he said, after you're converted, then strengthen your brethren. That was on the night of his betrayal, that he was not yet converted. And no man is truly converted until he's been changed and died to himself, and the Holy Spirit is in control of that person. They don't want to do it. I remember going, when I was a senior in college, going over to the United Pentecostal Seminary. They had church services on Friday nights, and I just wanted to stay away from all the party scenes. That's why I was going over there. And when I came in the door, one guy says, well, have you spoken in tongues? I said, yeah, I've spoken in tongues because I took French. So I knew a little French. I'd taken 2 years of French, so I spoke in other tongues. And so I said, well, you got the Holy Ghost? I said, no, I don't have the Holy Ghost. I said, Balaam's donkey spoke in tongues, and he didn't have the Holy Ghost. You know, because I knew when I read my Bible that Peter had done all these things. He had been out with Jesus for 3 years. He had been healing the sick, raising up the people and everything else. And yet, Jesus said, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. And I knew I hadn't been converted yet. I wanted to be converted. I was believing unto, you see, but I hadn't died to me yet. I wanted to die to me, but I didn't know how. Now, from discernment of the Spirit, Brother Brown said, God's got to reveal himself to you, and no man can call Jesus the Christ by intellectual conception. No man can call Jesus the Christ because he feels sorry for his sins and comes and repents. No man can call Jesus the Christ only by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, making it known to him, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. There's a revelation. There it is. That's what he's built his church upon. You see? So it's not coming and saying, well, I believe everything Brother Graham said. You know, Brother Graham said? He said, that just means you can read. And remember, the word revelation means an unveiling. It means a being made known. So no man can call Jesus the Christ until God has actually made it known. And that falls right back to 1 Corinthians 2 that says that no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. Alright? When the Spirit of God is in you, then you know. And that's your evidence of the Holy Ghost. And we're going to get into that a little bit later. from the oncoming storm. He says, some time ago I made it, making altar calls, and I love John 5:24. He that hears my words and believes on him that sent me has eternal life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. He that believeth, he said, said, that's pretty light. No, that's pretty deep. For when you believe, now no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit, then you have believed unto eternal life and have eternal life. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life and shall not come into the judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Now we've spent almost an entire sermon on Sunday showing you that Brother Branham actually is quoting John 5:24 and said the word believeth there should be understandeth. Okay, because there's a big difference between just believing unto and understanding. From questions and answers, COD, Brother Brown said, and now I know the great scripture, I use it myself, I've got it written down here, St. John 5:24. It's a pet scripture to me, for Jesus said this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. Now let me read it so that it'll get it just perfectly right, St. John 5, and I want you to listen close now as we go into the scripture, 5 and 24th verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life, he that believeth on me. Now, the scripture says that no man can say Jesus is the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. So you cannot believe that Jesus is the Christ until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're only testifying or saying what the scripture says, saying what the pastor says, saying what mother says or some good preacher. But you don't know it yourself until he has witnessed his resurrection to you. And no man can call Jesus the Christ until or by the Holy Ghost. Again, from the book of Exodus, he says, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot understand the kingdom of heaven. There's no way of understanding it until you are born again. And then God reveals himself to you, and then you know that you have passed from death unto life, because no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Spirit. See, the only way that you'll ever know that Jesus is the Christ is when the Holy Spirit personally witnesses it to you that he is the resurrected Lord Jesus. Why? Because you see a resurrected life in you. You see that you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. No matter what he would do, what kind of signs, what kind of miracles, you'll never know it until your personal experience with God. You say, well, I believe it because the Bible says so. Well, that's good. The Bible is true. It's true. It knows it. Well, the preacher says so. Well, perhaps he knows it. Mother says so. Well, she knows it. But what do you know about it? You'll never know it until it's revealed to you individually by the Holy Spirit. And then by accepting it, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, born a second time. Now, notice he's not talking about believing it. He's talking about knowing it. He says, what do you know about it? You'll never know it until it's revealed. What is revealed? It's openly made manifest in you or to you individually by the Holy Spirit. All right? Now notice these quotes that we have read all say the same thing. You will never know, you will never understand until the Holy Spirit comes into you and reveals himself. That means to make himself known. Then you will know, then you will understand. Now, from questions and answers, Brother Ramson, now before you've received the Holy Spirit, you are believing unto eternal life. But you do not have eternal life until you receive the Holy Ghost. Because it is eternal life. The Holy Ghost is God. It's God's life in you. Then you got eternal life. Do you understand that now? See? Now look. You're believing unto. Now wait. Here's a good thing. You women, excuse me for this if it sounds too flat. To make a point. But a mother, it's life. But still, that baby isn't born. But if you treat that baby right and follow the rules of nature, that baby will be born normally. But if you don't apply everything to the rule of nature, you let a hard bruise or hit or something take place, it's going to ruin it. See, it'll kill the baby before it's born. So he's tying in the baby that's in the mother's womb with believing. You see, if you say you believe, but you don't follow the rules of belief, then you'll kill it. Remember, the word was sown upon many different kinds of soil. And some it fell on and they rejoiced for a season. But when tribulation came because of the word, what happened? It dried up. It died off. You see? But it says, the one who brings forth much fruit, it says, he receiveth the word and understandeth it. The other one says, they receive it, but because they don't understand it, then when this happens, they lose what they got. So it comes right down to understanding, and that's your birth. Now, that ought to tell you how fragile just believing is. When people say, well, you know, we don't have to understand it, we just have to believe it. That's a lazy Laodicea way. It's a lazy Laodicea. We don't need to study the Word, we just believe it. Brother Brown said that twice, but he said it from the sermon, lean not to your own understanding. It's your own understanding that's not required. It's His understanding that is required. All right? But that ought to tell you how fragile just believing is. You have the potential, but until you're born again, you just do not know. You think that you know, but that is only a mental condition. But once you have the experiential relationship with God, the epignosko, then it is as sure, it's a sure thing to you. We see in 1 Corinthians 13:9, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away, and there is no one perfect but God. Then this speaks of when He, God, comes. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. Now, why did I understand like a child? I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put away childish things because I put away childish thinking. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Face to face? Well, the word face actually is personal presence. Look it up. It's in prosy. It means in the presence of. Therefore, there is coming a time when I will see him presence to presence. Now I know in part, he says, but then when, at the time that he is personally here, then shall I know even as also I am known. Now this word know is translated from the Greek word epignosko, and it means to become thoroughly acquainted with, to know thoroughly, to know accurately, to know well, to recognize by sight, hearing, or certain signs, to perceive who a person is, then will I understand. Therefore, it speaks of an experiential knowing or a knowledge, a knowing because you are witnessing, a knowing because you are experiencing. No man can call Jesus the Christ, the anointing, the anointer, until you've been anointed. Now you can say, well, my preacher said so. Yeah, that's fine. The Bible says so. Yeah, that's fine. But what about you? You cannot know, you cannot epignosko until you've experienced. Then you see this, knowing God is what brings our change. Now let's turn to the book of John and examine this revelation, which is to bring forth our change. In John 14, verse 7, we read, if you had known me, epignosko, you would have known my Father also. This tells us that Jesus did not come to make himself, to manifest himself, but his Father. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Now this is where the oneness believed that Jesus was his Father, but Philip knew Jesus was speaking of another, for he said, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll satisfy. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? In epignosko. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? So we see the importance of knowing, but you cannot know unless God ordains for you to know. And when Jesus said, no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him, he used the Greek word epignosko, which means to become thoroughly acquainted with, to know thoroughly, to know accurately, to know well, to perceive who a person is or to understand. Therefore, if they don't know the Father, then they do not know God. And John told us that if they do not have the doctrine of Christ, they don't have God. Jesus told us that the Gentiles worship what they know not. In other words, they worship a guess. Their worship then could never be perfect. It could not. It could only be stabbed at like shooting in the dark, hit or miss. And they must not really care because they are so willing to turn away from the light. Now let me use three more usages of this word epignosko. Jesus used it. In Matthew 11:27, he says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son. No man epignosko the Son. No man has an experiential relationship of the Son. In other words, now man has an experiential, no man has an experiential knowledge of the Son, but the Father. Neither knoweth any man, and neither does any man know God experientially, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So there's got to be a revelation, which is an unveiling. It's a manifesting in its true nature. All right? That has to take place within you, or you don't know. You don't epigenosko. So we see Jesus tell us the same thing in Luke 10:22. He said, all things are delivered to me and my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Now, in this next scripture, we'll see how that Jesus is not speaking of himself, but the day of his coming. And notice he speaks of an experiential knowing of that day, and says no man knows it. No man has experienced or has an experiential knowledge of that day. No man has experienced that day, not even me, he says. And also remember that God interprets his word by bringing it to pass, so the manifested word is the experiential knowing of the word. Notice he says, Mark 13:32. But of that day and of that hour, now he's speaking of his coming and the events that surround his coming, of that day and that hour knoweth no man, epigenosko no man. No man has an experiential knowing of it, because it has not yet happened. Not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Now, in getting back to Brother Branham and how he separates believing from actually knowing and understanding, in his sermon Questions and Answers on the Holy Ghost, he said the Holy Spirit is what? You are believing unto eternal life. But when the Holy Spirit comes, it is eternal life. You're believing unto, you're begotten of the Spirit at sanctification, but never born of the Spirit until the Holy Ghost comes in. That's correct. A baby's got life in the womb of the mother, little muscles and are quivering, it's alive. But it's a different life when it breathes the breath of life into its nostrils. It's different. That's what it is, my dear Methodist brother, Pilgrim Holiness and Nazarene. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is different from sanctification. Sanctification is the cleansing, which is preparation of life. But when the Holy Ghost comes, it is life. Preparation is cleansing the vessel. The Holy Ghost is filling the vessel. Sanctification means cleaned and set aside for service. And the Holy Spirit is put into service. You are the vessel that God's cleaned up. Again, from what the Holy Ghost is given for, he says, and Brother Branham said to me, and a brother said to me the other day, he said, Brother Branham, or sometime ago, months ago, he said, Brother Branham, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And I said, well, truly, what more can a man do than believe? And I said, well, that's all a man can do. That's all he can do is believe God. But God gave him a seal of circumcision that we went through last night as a sign that he had accepted his faith in him. And today, until God, you believe unto him when you accept him as your personal Savior. But when God gives you the seal of the Holy Ghost, he sealed you to your eternal destination. See, that's the difference between believing unto and knowing. Believing unto and knowing that you know. And having that understanding. Now, you Baptists take that, and I'll go with you. I'll go with you on eternal life or eternal security. Yes, sir. Because grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. You are not sealed by believing unto, but sealed by the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:30. Receive not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of your redemption. That seals you when you found favor with God, and he seals you by the Holy Ghost. That's so, for the Bible said, no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. Again, from what the Holy Ghost is given for, he said, now, let me finish reading John 14:12. Now, in the 14th chapter, 12th verse, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth, and you cannot believe, now believe on me, you cannot believe on him. Now, how many understands that? Say amen. You remember Acts 19, I hate to stop this here, but I just have to say it as it comes to me. In Acts 19 chapter 1, this Baptist preacher, which was a lawyer and was converted, and he was preaching and getting people saved, and they had great joy, just rejoicing and shouting and having a meeting, Acts 18, Aquila and Priscilla, he referred it to last evening, and we referred to last evening, and they had went to see him, and they know that he was a great man, and he was a student, and he was proving by the Bible that Jesus was the Son of God, only knowing the baptism of John. He didn't know the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet. So he said, Aquila and Priscilla, that husband and wife, little tent makers, which Paul was a tent maker too, and they received the Holy Ghost under Paul's teaching. And they said, well, we've got a little brother that's coming up here. I'll let him talk to us a little bit about it. And when Paul came up and heard him preach, knowing he was a great man, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, well, we know not whether there be a Holy Ghost. He said, well, then what were you baptized? The real Greek word there is to know, is how was you baptized? And they said, well, we've been baptized already by John the Baptist. Now watch what Paul said. Paul said that John verily baptized unto repentance, for not for remission of sins, but unto repentance. Saying, that's what you believe when you accept Christ as your personal Savior. You're believing unto the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost, my dear Baptist brethren. get it wrong. So when we have people staking their eternal salvation on just believing, when they really don't know, and when the doctrine comes up and they don't know, they're not sure, they better be careful. The problem is they haven't got the Holy Ghost if you just come up to believing. Brother Pastor, you're believing unto believing. You better know that you know. And the only way you'll know that you know is not intellectually studying it out. So when the Holy Ghost comes in, the whole word becomes just common sense to you. It's Holy Ghost sense. All right? You think like your father thinks. Now what the Holy Ghost is getting for you says, you are not converted until you've received the Holy Ghost. That's right, you are believing unto. The Holy Spirit has spoken to you and you've publicly confessed Him. The devil has the same thing. I believe Him to be the Son of God. So does the devil. But you're walking on towards Him. When Peter had been called and justified by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and in John 17:17, Jesus sanctified them through the Word, and the Word was the truth, and He was the Word. One John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Word, so He sanctified them. He said, Father, speaking to the Spirit in Him, I sanctify them through the Word, Himself, laying His hands upon them, Thy Word is truth. And from questions and answers, He said, now, the next question is 77. Is it true that you are not saved unless you have received the Holy Ghost? Well, there could take about a 5-hour discussion on that. When you accept Christ as your Savior and are then ready for baptism in water, you have not yet been converted. You're only believing unto repentance, conversion. It means to be changed. See right there. Brother, I'm saying you're not saved yet. You're believing unto salvation. Now, contrast believing unto with the actual evidence of being born again. And for the next few minutes, I just want to hammer home what Brother Branham and Brother Bell discussed in the Church Age book as the evidence of the new birth and being filled with the Spirit of God. From his sermon, Feast of the Trumpets, Brother Branham said, and Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so will it be at the coming of the end of the world, when the Son of Man, not Son of God, but when the Son of Man will be revealed. Had it through the ages. See, that perfect continuity of the Scripture. Here we live in it. The mysteries, even the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus and away from the oneness idea, and these other things, how the Holy Spirit has moved that in and showed it perfectly, and the true baptism of the Holy Spirit, the token, and everything, and placed it, and how He placed everything, every reformer, and everything just exactly, and see right before our eyes, and it's not in a corner, it's world known, Jesus, the Son of God, revealing Himself by the Scriptures, making that Scripture that had been predestined to this day, like it was in that day and other days, live. To believe it is the evidence of the Holy Spirit, its righteousness, which we know righteousness is right wiseness. Now notice He lays out the mysteries which have been made known in this hour, and then He says, to believe it is the evidence of the Holy Spirit, its right wiseness. Now from His sermon Shalom, He said, now you call that fruit of the Spirit? Certainly not. Then where is your fruit of the Spirit landing up at? No more than you think of compassions and think and Him going through a multitude of people there, multitudes, lame, blind, crippled, affected, withered, halt, lame, and never healed any of them, full of compassion. People with a carnal mind will never know it. Seminaries don't teach it. It's a revelation. Certainly. The fruit of the Spirit drops off there, doesn't it? Then priests had 10 times the fruit of the Spirit. How would you know that? How would you know what's right? The manifestation of the spoken word of God being made manifest. Light of the hour, certainly. There is what the evidence of the Holy Spirit is believing the Word of God when it's manifested. He was the Word manifested, and some of them denied it. They laughed at it, made fun of it, and called Him a fortune teller, some evil spirit. There's evidence. Speaking in tongues, there is evidence of the fruits. The only evidence there is when a man believes the written Word, when it's vindicated, and they walk in the light of it. Jesus was the light of the hour because He was the promised word of the hour. And He tried to tell them so, but they were too much in darkness to understand. So is it today. So what's He saying? He's saying the evidence of the Holy Spirit is not only believing it, but living it. In other words, believing it to the point where you understand it and you live it. Questions and answers. Now, that's no evidence of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about fruits of the Spirit. See, you can't rely upon that. You can't rely upon the fruits of the Spirit because the first fruit of the Spirit is love, and the Christian Science exercise more love than anybody that I know of. And they even deny Jesus Christ being divine. See, there's only one evidence of the Holy Spirit that I know of, and that is a genuine faith in the promised word of the hour. What's faith? See, it's not a genuine believing in the promised word for the hour. It's a genuine faith. The word faith is revelation, Brother Brown taught us. What is revelation? It's a made known. It's made known. It's understood. See? Now, those Jews came and they had more religion than the disciples had. They were better trained men in the scripture than the disciples was because they were fishermen and tax collectors and so forth. And they had real faith and genuine faith in what they were doing. Now, listen closely now. Don't miss this. See, when it comes to being fruits of the Spirit, kind and gentle, I guess there wasn't a one of those priests but what could outshine Jesus Christ in it. He went to the temple. He plaited ropes. He looked upon them with anger. See, people tell me, well, you know, you shouldn't get angry. I'm sorry, but the Bible says contrary to that. And Brother Brown says, he looked upon them with anger and turned over their tables and run them out of the place. Is that right? The Bible said he looked upon them with anger. The Bible said that. That's exactly right. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. So it's all right to be angry as long as it's rightly wise. It's not sin. Okay, for broken sisters, Brother Branson, today I was talking to my good friend Dr. Vail, who's present now, and he's quite a theologian, and so we usually have some pretty good discussions on the scripture, very smart, and he asked me one time what I thought about the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost was the speaking in tongues. It's been many years ago, and I said, no, can't see that. He said, neither do I. Said, though I've been taught that. He said, but what would you think would be the evidence? I said, the most perfect evidence I can think of is love. And so we got to talking on that. And then I thought, well, that sounded pretty good, so I just held that, if a man's got love. But one day, the Lord, in a vision, straightened me out. And he said that the evidence of the Spirit was those who would receive the word, neither loving nor speaking in tongues, but it's receiving the word. There you go, brother, sister. From questions and answers, what is the evidence that a person is really filled with the Holy Ghost? John 14:26. He will, when the Holy Ghost has come, now see, he will show you things to come. See, he'll perfect it. Man-made won't do it. And he is the Word. When he, the Holy Ghost, has come, he will identify himself in you with the Scripture. Notice, not to you with the Scripture. In you. With the Scripture. And that is the true sign that the Holy Spirit is in you because it is the Word. Now look, what if you spoke in tongues? I just want to ask you that. Jesus said when the Holy Ghost come, what he would do. And what if you spoke in tongues, jumped up and down, shouted and everything else, and then come to the Word, and I tell you the baptism and proved to you by the Scripture as I have, that the baptism using the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is absolutely a misunderstanding in the Scripture. Nobody was ever baptized like that, and you go ahead and hang with it anyhow? Could you tell me the Holy Spirit is in you would do a thing like that? How can it deny its own word? Amen. Or how can the Holy Ghost deny his own word that says if a man put away his wife and marry again, except it be for the cause of fornication, which is not telling you that she was not a virgin and you marry her, believing she is, and then find out later that she wasn't. That's adultery to do so. That's what the Bible says. And for you to do it anyway, how can you say you have the Holy Ghost and do that? You don't. From Christ revealed his own word, he said, and that's just not for that, that's anything. Look, how many of the Ten Commandments do people break every day and they claim to believe God sent a prophet? Pulling deals on brothers, writing the message, pulling deals on one another, and then say they got the Holy Ghost? I don't think so. I don't think so, brother. Because the Holy Ghost is the very revelation for the hour, living itself out in you. Now, from Christ revealing his own words, that today's so confused about the evidence of the Holy Ghost and so forth, Satan can impersonate any kind of gift that God's got. But he cannot bring that word by word. That's where he failed in the Garden of Eden. That's where he always fails. That's where the tape on false anointed ones at the end time, anointed ones, they can be anointed with the Spirit, the saint with the Spirit, speak in tongues, dance, shout, preach the gospel, and still a devil. And you get mad at me if I say they're a devil. Now, I don't even call people's names. But some say, well, you know, you're probably thinking about so-and-so. Well, now you get signed Messiah because you're telling me what I'm thinking? from the thinking man's filter. He says, now, if you want the evidence of the Holy Ghost, here it is. When that soul of yours will line up with the Word of God in every respect, it shows that you've drawn your life through the thinking man's filter, God's filter. And from Church Age book. Remember now, John the Baptist was both the prophet and messenger of his age. He was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. When he was baptizing in Jordan, the Word of God, Jesus, came to him. The Word always comes to the truly Spirit-filled. There you go. That is the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost. That is what Jesus said would be the evidence. He said, I will pray the Father and he will send you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now, we know that truth is, thy word is truth. John 17:17, again, and again in John 8:43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. And remember, we gave a whole bunch of quotes where Brother Bass said, hearing means to understand. Did you know that Jesus said that the world could not receive the Holy Ghost? Well, in this verse I just read, neither could they receive the Word. Why? Because the Spirit and the Word are one. And if you have the Holy Spirit as a prophet, the Word would come to you. You would receive it. In John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Here again we find the Word coming because of the Spirit of God. Again, in John 16:13, albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, the Word, is come, he will guide you into all truth. That word is truth. And he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, Word of God, that he shall speak word. And he will show you things to come. Spirit bringing the word of prophecy. I want you to notice very carefully that John did not say that the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost was speaking in tongues, interpreting, prophesying, or shouting and dancing. He said the evidence would be that you would be in the truth, you would be in the Word of God for your age. Evidence has to do with receiving that Word. Again, in the Church Age book, Brother Ram said, now comes this very good question. I know that you all are anxious to ask, why isn't the manifestation an evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost? Because you surely could not manifest the Holy Ghost unless you truly were filled. Now, I wish you could say that is right, because I don't like to hurt people or walk on their doctrine. But I wouldn't be a true servant of God if I didn't tell you the whole counsel of God. That's right, is it not? Just let me take a little look at. Let's just take a little look at Balaam. He was religious. He worshipped God. He understood the proper method of sacrifice and approaching unto God. But he was not a true seed prophet, for he took the wages of unrighteousness. And the worst of all, he led the people of God into sins of fornication and idolatry. Yet, who would dare to deny that the Spirit of God manifested through him in one of the most beautiful portions of absolutely accurate prophecy the world has ever seen? But he never had the Holy Ghost. Now then, what do you think of Caiaphas, the high priest? The Bible says that he prophesied the kind of death the Lord should die. We all know there is no record of him being Spirit-filled or Spirit-led man, like dear old Simeon or that sweet saint called Anna. Yet he had a genuine manifestation of the Holy Ghost. We can't deny that. So where is manifestation as an evidence? It isn't there. That's why you have to be careful with John 14:12. It's not about the manifestation. It's about having the right motive and attitude towards God, that whatever God asks you to do, you're willing to do it. That's it, because you can't do anything anyway. It's God that does it. If you are truly filled with the Spirit of God, you will have the evidence of the Word in your life. And from the Church Age books, Marine Church Age, page 103. Now, you can begin to see why tongues is not the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say in any age that he that hath a tongue, let him say what the Spirit says. That puts tongues, interpretation thereof, and prophecy, etc., aside as an evidence. The evidence is hearing what the Spirit says. The Spirit is talking. Yes, the Spirit is teaching. That is exactly what Jesus said that he would do when he came, John 14:26. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And that is just what happened. That is how the Gospels were written. These men had recalled to their minds by the Holy Ghost the very words that Jesus spoke. That is why the Gospels are accurate. They are perfect. But the Spirit did not only bring all their minds, bring things to their minds, but he taught them further on the truth they already had. That is how Paul received his revelation. He said concerning it, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it of man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Galatians 1:11-12. He was taught by the Holy Ghost. And from the Church Age book, Pergamon Church Age, page 33. And there it is. "You can't claim that manifestation is the evidence of being spirit-born, spirit-filled. No, sir. I will admit that true manifestation is the evidence of a Holy Spirit doing mighty acts, but it is not the evidence of the individual being spirit-filled, even though that individual has an abundance of those manifestations." So the manifestations, yes, that's the Holy Ghost doing those things. But is a person spirit-filled? Don't know. If he's off the word, he can't be spirit-filled. Right? All right. Now, from Church Age book, this morning, Church Age, page 109. "Now, when God is silent, we had better be silent. But when he has spoken, we had better speak too, and say what he has already said. He told us the evidence, or what would happen after being baptized with the Holy Ghost, was that we would have the teacher come and teach all truth. But that teacher was an inside teacher, not an outside teacher. If the Spirit wasn't inside, you wouldn't hear the truth and receive it by revelation. If you heard it every moment of the day, that was the sign of the indwelling Spirit in the days of Paul. Those who were filled with the Holy Ghost heard the word, received it, and lived by it. Those who did not have the Spirit heard it only as carnal men, put a wrong interpretation on it, and went into sin." And a few more and we'll close. Again, from the Church Age book, chapter 7, the Sardisian Church Age, paragraph 77. "Now, I am sure that you have noticed that those whose names were in the Book of Life were a part of the religious order of that day that centered around the true God and worship of Him, though they did not worship according to the truth, the Word. Like Judas, they didn't go all the way. See how Judas was chosen of God. He was instructed in truth. He shared the knowledge of the mysteries. He had a ministry of power granted unto him, and he healed the sick, and he cast out devils in Jesus' name. But when the showdown came, he sold out for gold and political power. He did not go up to Pentecost to receive the Spirit of God. He was devoid of the Spirit. Now make no mistake about it. A person that is truly baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ, receiving the fullness of the Spirit, will be in the Word all the way. That is the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Judas failed. Multitudes failed right there. And when they fail to go on in that word, their names are taken off the Book of Life." And from the Church Age book, chapter 4, this morning, Church Age, paragraph 137. "Before I close this subject, I know there is a question in your minds. You will want to know if I believe in the doctrine of pre-existence. I don't believe in that Mormon doctrine of the pre-existence of souls any more than I believe in reincarnation or the transmigration of soul. Now be careful here and see this. It is not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It is the Word or the seed. That is it. Way back there, too far back for the human mind to grasp, the eternal God with eternal thoughts, thought and decree, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Romans 9:13. And neither was born and neither having done good or evil. See, it was a thought, and then that thought became expressed. And God brought back Jacob because Jacob alone was seed. Jacob alone had the seed. That is why he had respect to the birthright and covenant of God. If you are a true seed, you will hear that word. The Spirit will baptize you into the body of Christ, filling you and empowering you, and you will receive the word for your day and age. See how clear the true evidence becomes when the word is revealed to you. Again, note, Jesus was the royal seed. He lived in human body. When the Spirit called to him, the word manifested thought. He went to Jordan and was there baptized in water. Upon obeying the word, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and the voice said, This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. The voice did not say, This has become my Son. Jesus was the Son. The Holy Ghost positioned him as that Son before them all. Then having been filled thus, the same pattern holds at Pentecost and ever after, he went and demonstrated power, receiving the full revelation of God and from God for that day." And from the Church Age book, chapter 4, the Smyrna Church Age, paragraph 110. "In every age," and every age is the age of the Holy Ghost for a true believer, or for the true believer, "I say in every age the evidence was the same. Those who had the Spirit, the teacher, heard the word, and that Spirit in them took the word and taught it, revealed it to them, and they were of the group that heard the messenger and his message and took it and lived it." So who's the teacher? Levi? No. It's the Holy Ghost. It's a teacher in you. He said, not the teacher outside, the teacher in you. Now, Church Age book, Smyrna Church Age again, paragraph 102. To further bring out what we have just said, and to also use a scripture that should be borne in mind as we talk about who it is that is baptized with the Holy Ghost, see what Jesus says in John 6:45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. But turn to Isaiah 54:13, whence this is taken, and it reads, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. The all of God are the children of God. Thus it is that the evidence of being a true child of God, he whom the Spirit has come upon and indwells, is again set forth as one taught the Word by the Holy Ghost. Now, Brother Bell told me when we sat in his living room, he said, when I am gone, there will be people who say that there is no more teachers because Brother Vail is gone. And that is wrong, because the Holy Ghost is the teacher. And as long as the Holy Ghost is here, there will still be teaching. How thankful we ought to be in this day for the Holy Ghost, who still is here, and he's still teaching. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, because this clears up our understanding, Father, that it's not just coming up to the place of believing unto, but it's entering into and receiving your Holy Spirit. And once we receive your Holy Spirit, you, the teacher, open up the Word to us. Not just the Word that we heard before, but now further things in the Word. And as we read Word upon Word, it opens that Word upon Word to us and brings us an understanding of it, because it is your Spirit. It's the Spirit that gives understanding. It's the Spirit that reveals. And so, Father, we're thankful for your Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.